This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Something significant has just happened in Victoria. Parliament has established an inquiry into anti-LGBTIQA plus hate crimes, and it's being described as a landmark moment for our community. But this isn't just about incidents in the present. There's a conversation emerging about history, accountability, and whether we're even properly confronting the harm that was enabled by law and institutions in the past. Dr. Jeremy Bracker is a human rights lawyer from RMIT University. Jeremy, welcome back to Drive.
Hi, Warren. It's great to be on Joy. Always is.
Now, what makes this inquiry feel different from previous attempts to address anti-LGBTIQA plus hate?
Well, for starters, we've never had one. So Victoria's had an apology. We've certainly had goodwill and some, you know, measures. Legally, we've clearly had decriminalisation in the mid-80s. But unlike New South Wales, which 2 years ago embarked on a journey of establishing their own special commission into hate crimes, or even Tasmania that last year passed a bill to compensate LGBT or gay men particularly who've been charged, convicted or imprisoned under sodomy laws, Victoria has lagged a bit behind. So what we have passed yesterday is quite momentous because it's a parliamentary inquiry asking a very big question, and that is, what is the scale and scope of anti-LGBTIQA plus hate crimes in Victoria, and what can we do about it?
Now, the inquiry will look at extremist recruitment and online harms as well. How much of what we're seeing now is being fueled in digital spaces?
A lot, unfortunately, and that's probably why a lot of the mental health reports that we're getting of our youth are plummeting, and youth prevention strategies, and also the impact on diverse communities, including Rainbow Mob and multi-faith LGBTQI plus peoples, is so important, because it's, you know, online really, and hate speech there is part of this social ecosystem. It's not just isolated incidents, and it's not just about hate speech, it's also about safety. So many, I'm sure, listeners will recall that, like, a couple of years ago, at the end of 2024, there was a spate of incidents where gay men were targeted on Grindr and entrapped. And, of course, the gay community has a long history of entrapment. So, you know, one of the weaknesses of this parliamentary inquiry is that it's not really making the connection between the rising homophobia and transphobia we're seeing today and a long legacy of abuse and harms that's been committed institutionally at the hands of police in this state. Many might recall that police used to dress up in the 1970s, and there was an incident where they would target gays in Black Rock to entrap them. So, you know, this is a real moment in which Victoria is starting to ask some very big questions, and I think that's a good thing.
We're chatting with Dr. Jeremy Bracker from RMIT University about Victoria's new inquiry into anti-LGBTIQA plus hate crimes and what it could mean for the community. For people who don't know the history, you mentioned the Black Rock arrests there, and we remember the Tasty nightclub raid. Why do these events still matter, and why is it important that we keep the impact of those alive in terms of awareness now?
That's such an excellent question, Warren, and it really, like, hits the nail on the head in terms of what's missing in this inquiry, because we don't have in the current draft that's been passed yesterday a stronger engagement with historical institutional responsibility. And look, Victoria does have a history of criminalisation, police harassment, state-enabled stigma against the rainbow communities, and those legacies shape trust in institutions today. So if we only focus on contemporary hate, and we don't acknowledge how law and public authority contributes to past harm, I think we really risk treating this as just a sudden cultural or isolated problem rather than something that really does have structural roots. And from my experience and even working a little bit on research with the Yuruk Justice Commission, which was Victoria's first truth-telling body to deal with colonisation against the Indigenous Victorians, prevention is always stronger when it's paired with truth-telling.
Just if we don't look at historical events, how can an inquiry like this actually rebuild trust then for members of our community who still, I suppose, feel wary of these institutions?
Well, that's also an excellent question. As I said, particularly for trans people who are experiencing such an intense wave of hostility, both online and offline at the moment, trans narratives are really being mainstreamed in global political discourse in a really negative way. Trust is a really important thing. This inquiry is a movement that has some political traction and it begins a conversation. I just need to really acknowledge here the hard work of my colleagues or partners on this research project that we began last year to ask these questions. Sean Mulcahy from La Trobe University and another colleague who's an incredibly inspired lawyer in New South Wales, Nicola Stewart, who's one of the movers and the shakers of the New South Wales Special Commission of Inquiry, and he's helping us here in Victoria to ask these big questions and move some of the processes forward. Their work's important and this advocacy to get a commission, an inquiry up is great. It's the work of advocates to keep asking, for governments to ask bigger and better questions. But beginning the conversation is a good thing.
I'm thinking of an interview I've done a couple now with the 75ers from, the original Mardi Gras group, and they were talking about some of the things that happened to them in involving the police, and you could just see the trauma just there. There were tears, and we need to embrace these people as well.
100%. I'm really glad you said that, because I think that's the part that's most missing from my perspective, and that is giving a platform and a voice to those voices. And I'm reminded, when you describe that, those sort of, those teary eyes, I'm really reminded of what our LGBTIQ plus commissioner Joe Ball says, that every time he walks into a room and he talks about rights and legacies of the past, he looks at the room and he says, I know those of you here who are a bit older, I know that you guys did it tougher. And I think a lot of people of my generation and younger forget that we are the beneficiaries of an enormous amount of advocacy and that it wasn't always this easy. It's still not by far, by any stretch of the imagination, where it should be, but I think we need a platform for those voices.
Jeremy, what do you think meaningful accountability would look like beyond just an apology?
We need reform. We need better data and coordinated prevention, especially in schools and online. We need clear expectations for digital platforms and stronger responses to organised hate. And probably more importantly, we need a willingness in Victorian government to confront past institutional harms so that trust can be rebuilt. So hate crime prevention is not just about punishment. It's also about giving those 75ers, as you described, a voice. It's about culture, education, and it's restoring confidence in public authority. And it's also, in some cases, it might just be about, compensation, not just about money, but compensation as in a recognition of past harm. The 75ers aren't getting younger. We need to roll up our sleeves as advocates and make sure that Victoria follows Tasmania and offers a compensation scheme for those convicted under the anti-sodomy laws, and that we have a special commission that gives survivors and victims a platform to air their truths and their lived experiences, like New South Wales did in some of the cases that we saw. And Victoria's beginning, but it can be a leader, as it has been the Europe Justice Commission. And you can be rest assured that my team at RMIT, the School of Law, together with brilliant colleagues and advocates like Nicola Stewart and Sean Mulcahy, will be doing our best to push this forward, and to get Victoria to embark on a journey of transitional justice for our community.
Jeremy, please keep us posted on how it's going.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to chat with you.
Always.
Dr. Jeremy Bracker, human rights lawyer from RMIT University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.